Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. There's a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. My dog, Finny, very excited on a Friday morning, Mikey A. How about that? Finny's excited for this week's edition of Stupidity, which will feature not one but two future Hall of Famers, a couple of Hall of Famers cutting it up. How about that?
Three Hall of Famers, you.
Yeah, Radio Hall of Fame. I'm waltzing in. Why am I waltzing in? Why do we waltz into the Hall of Fame?
Why the hell are we doing this in the morning?
Because it's Stupidity. That's why. Because we were supposed to do it Wednesday, and then we were supposed to do it Thursday, and then Stupidity.
We were supposed to do it Monday, then we were supposed to do it Wednesday, then we were That's supposed right. to do it Thursday, and here we
and
are
then,
Friday morning.
Stupidity! Let's get right to it. Tony Boselli did not make it into the Hall of Fame, even though I promised he would get in this year, and we'll discuss
after
that
all your him, efforts.
I did exactly nothing, but I'm gonna do it this year. I promise you. So future Hall of Famer Tony Boselli gonna join us, and Dwight Freedy gonna join us after that. Hopefully we'll have them both on together towards the end. And we'll have a couple of Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famers, cutting it up. How about that? But first, let's get to Tony Boselli. How you been, by the way?
I've been good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you failed again for the Hall of Fame.
No, you
didn't do anything. You're all talk. I mean, it's all talk.
You're 100.
How many years? How many years is it going to take for you to realize that, Tony?
I realize it. I'm just waiting for like the anomaly where he actually does something he says he's going to do.
This is the year. Listen, I thought COVID-19 was going to take care of it this year, and I didn't have to do anything. And even that was not enough to get you into the Hall of Fame, man. What the fuck? I told you that early on. How are you feeling, by the way? For those of you who don't know, Tony tested positive for COVID. I want to say it feels like a year ago, and described it as something that brought him to his knees. And Tony Boselli is in as good a shape as anyone I know in my life. So how are you feeling, that far removed from Corona?
Yeah, I feel fine. You know, no issues at all working out. I got really fat after Corona. I don't know if it was because of COVID-19. I just got really fat. It's probably because eating too much and too many adult beverages. But so I lost some weight at the start of the year. I feel great working out, you know, a few days a week, and no lingering effects that I know about. I mean, I had a bunch of work at the Mayo Clinic where they took pictures of my lungs and no scarring, and they did EKG and all that stuff. So the heart looks good. So I got zero complaints at this point.
Good. We're certainly happy to hear that. I lost my mom recently to COVID, Tony. I'm not certain.
No, I didn't know that. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's and I had those words. I just, because I know how much pride you take in staying in good shape even after playing in the NFL, and I had those words kind of resonating in my head where you had told me that thing had, you'd said goodbye to your family.
Yeah.
Where it had brought you to your knees. And so when my mom at 76 years of age, who was already going into it with chronic arthritic conditions and autoimmune issues, we had a pretty good idea that, you know, where that whole thing was headed. And so I really... Tony, I went back and listened to the time we had you on to try to help me kind of guide myself through it and help guide my mom through it. And I will tell you, and I haven't told you this because I wanted to wait to have you on, it was super helpful. Like, your words, your advice of getting through that thing were super helpful to me, my family, and even my mom, who didn't make it, but she fought really, really hard.
Yeah, you know? I mean, listen, it's been a tough year. I mean, it's amazing if you think back where, you know, we sit here end of February. It's almost been a year since I got COVID, and really when the whole world shut down, I was early in the whole thing. And a lot, we've all been through a lot, and it's been just a nutty year. And, and unfortunately, you know, hopefully we're getting close to the other side. Hopefully there's a vaccine and a bunch of, you know, we'll kind of stop this thing and get back to living some sort of lives where we can be with each other and communicate and be with our loved ones. Especially, you know, my dad's older, and, you know, he has cancer. And so I worry about him all the time and getting COVID. And,
sure.
And it really does affect, you know, the older population, as you said, Stu, and it took your mom. And there's a lot of people like you and families out there that have lost someone to COVID, and it's no fun. But all we can do is keep fighting, keep pressing forward. And I'll tell you one thing, you know what it does also, I don't know about it's done it for you, is it makes you appreciate just the little things, like changes your perspective.
100%.
Like enjoy today. Like, we worry about so many other things, and we worry about what's going to happen next year. And, you know, if I'm going to get this or I'm going to get that. I mean, we were joking about the Hall of Fame, and not that I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame, obviously it'd be a huge honor. But this year was different for me, the whole perspective. I mean, because of what I went through with COVID, my wife had COVID. My wife had two cancer issues she dealt with after COVID. And she's fine. She's doing great. My dad got cancer. I mean, you look at all these things, and it's, you have a couple options. You can feel sorry for yourself and say, man, life's not fair. It stinks, and COVID stinks and everything else. Or you can say, you know, I'm going to really appreciate what I do have and not worry about the little stuff. Appreciate time with your family and the relationships, and maybe not take life quite so seriously, laugh a little bit more and enjoy. And I know you have no problem with the laughing a little bit more part.
No. But we found laughter. Listen, on our show, we find laughter in everything. We found laughter in my mom passing away. We found laughter at my mom's funeral, where there's 100 Jewish women trying to figure out how to use Zoom. So, I mean.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but like, you want to live a rich life. And the way you live a rich life is enjoying the moments. And I remember when I found out I didn't make the Hall of Fame this year, which is the fifth year in a row. So I'm just getting used to it.
It's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. You, once again, you didn't do anything you said you were going to do.
It's that guy. I got to tell you, it's that guy at the Hall of Fame. He's like the pitch man for you. Have you seen that video? Because it's not a ringing endorsement for Tony. I should be making that pitch video.
Well, no, we know we don't want that because you won't show up. You'll forget to show up that day. Because I hear a lot about that in Twitter and everything. First of all, that was only the first 3 minutes of an 8-minute presentation. Sam Kavaras does a good job. I've talked to people in the room. And he does a great job presenting. That's not why I'm not in. It's not Sam Kavaras' fault. He does a lot of research and everything else. I'm not in there because, you know, for the last 5 years, I think five guys are more deserving than I am. And that's the bottom line.
I might agree with you on everyone but Fanica. I mean, get the hell out of here. I mean, come on.
Listen, he deserves to be there. I'm good.
I know.
But I remember when I found out and I called my wife and I called a couple of close friends and my wife was so mad. And I'm like, Ange, I go, relax. Like, it's all good. Like, we have a good life. Like, it's like tomorrow morning we're to wake up. You know, we're still going to be married, have great kids, great life, going to go do whatever we do. And my perspective has definitely changed after 2020. And again, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. Hugest honor, you know, individual honor in the game of football. But at the same time, Stu, I mean, I'm sure you went through the same thing. You want to remember the moments you had with your mom and the great laughter, and the good times and stuff like that. And not focus on the fact that some crappy disease ended up maybe, you know, ending her life sooner than it should have been. But let's enjoy the moments that we have.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I didn't test positive. My mom did. My mom went through that. And I'm interested because you haven't been through COVID unless you've been through COVID, Tony. It doesn't, what you see on TV, the decisions I had to make on behalf of my mom and my family, or decisions I wish no son or no daughter would ever have to make on behalf of their family. I think just having someone super close to you, I don't want to say affects you in the same way, but it's super stressful. And I'm certain when you were positive, your wife and your kids went through exactly what me, my dad, and my brother went through, where it's almost equally as hard on the family as it is on the person who has COVID, because there is a loneliness to this, Tony, where I could not be there for my mom, who has been there for me physically my entire life.
Yeah, you know, it was 100%. Number one, I mean, studies will tell you this. A lot of times these serious medical condition and disease, cancer, COVID, whatever it is, heart disease, where someone's impacted quite a bit, it's every bit as hard or sometimes harder for the caregivers because of the stress and the impact that it goes on them. I mean, I remember thinking back when I was in the hospital, I mean, it stunk. I felt like crap, but I'm just focused on that moment of just trying to fight and get through it.
Sure.
Because you're sitting there. And my wife will tell you, which is funny, you'll like this. She goes, I'll be honest with you, she was sick too at the same time. She goes, I was just glad you're at the hospital so I didn't have to worry about you and deal with you. she was in bed. She couldn't get out of bed for like 5 days. So she was, but I think back to my kids.
Even in those moments, she was being your wife.
Oh yeah, it's the best. I mean, well, I don't know if I told you this last time, Stu, but a day before, or maybe it was a day and a half, whatever, before I went to the hospital, my wife literally was making fun of me because I was feeling, I'm like, I don't feel good. And I'm like, I'm like starting to have trouble breathing. I'm like freezing, sweating, fever, can't sleep. And literally, and she doesn't feel great either, by the way. And at one point she looked at me, she says, stop being a blankety blanket, get in bed and go to bed and go to sleep.
Sleep it off. Rub some dirt on
it. That's what she said. She goes, I thought you were tough. And then a day later, I'm in the ICU. But but going back, I think about my kids. They were sitting there all worried, and it was more stressful for them because here's their dad,
right?
And they're, you know, in college age and all the way down to 11, and they're thinking, and it was probably harder on them than me because I was sitting there I'm just trying to get through it. You're just fighting. You're like, we just get through to the next day.
Like crazy. Yeah.
You, like, with your mom and your dad, I mean, you are sitting there, like, just constantly thinking about her and, like, what can I do and why can I help and all those things. And I think that's every bit as hard or harder than the person who's fighting.
So, Tony, that's interesting. So, because you went through this and your family's been through some stuff, the Hall of Fame vote, while disappointing, didn't feel nearly as you're going to get in. You know that. I think you know that.
Yeah.
But it's changed your perspective, Tony. I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, and it started last year because I remember, and I think I told you on the last podcast I was on that when last year I was so dead. I was really upset last year when I didn't get in, the year before, beginning of 2020. And it bothered me. And I remember thinking and everything else. And I remember everyone telling me that year, next year's your year. Well, obviously they were wrong. But I remember them saying that, and it felt hollow when I would hear that. And then fast forward a month and a half, I'm laying in the ICU at the Mayo Clinic. And for whatever reason, as I'm pondering life after the pulmonologist just came in and said, we don't know what's going to happen to you. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, am I going to die? And, you know, you have all those thoughts. But one of the thoughts that came in, Stu, was this. Like, oh, don't worry, next year you'll get in. And I, at that moment, I thought, I don't care about next year. I don't care about
I care about next hour.
Next year, about getting into the Hall of Fame. I'm worried about, I hope I get to go see my family again and get out of this dang place. And that's really, from that moment on, I was like, I'm not gonna worry about next year. And so when I didn't get in, I was disappointed. And I said, okay, let's move on. And it's time, you know, I think what I've done a little bit is you kind of compartmentalize it. You're like, all right, let me put this in the box. I can't worry about it. Nothing I can do about it. You know, next year we'll deal with it again. But I'm not going to worry about next year because, as I told David Baker when he called me and told me I didn't get in, and David, I've known him for years because his son went to USC. I said, and he goes, talking about next year in LA and all that. And I said, David, that's great. If I'm on planet Earth still living, it'll be great, and I'll worry about it then.
All right. Listen. We are going to double up our efforts. And by double up, we're finally going to do something.
Double up. So explain to me how you double up from zero. Like, if you double zero, it's still zero.
All right, triple up.
Okay. So instead of doubling or tripling up, how about you just do something? Like, just anything. Fine. Like, I'm trying to think, what's the lowest common denominator that Stu Gotz could do in this? Like, even, like, maybe mention it on the show. That right there would be groundbreaking. Like, if you just said anything.
Dan thinks you're a Hall of Fame. We both think you should have been in the Hall of Fame, but Dan and I grew up watching you with the most menacing tackle we've both ever seen. Here's what I've done, okay? I am telling you, I have put calls in. I'm not bullshitting you this time, okay? I reached out to Jason Taylor. We're going to put together a video. Jason Taylor believes you should be in the Hall of Fame. Dwight Freeney, who's become a recent friend of mine, also believes that you should be in the Hall of Fame, okay? And then I become friendly with Shad Khan's son, Tony.
Oh, yeah, Tony. Okay? Yeah, I know Tony well.
Okay, so the three of us, well, the four of us, I should say, are putting our heads together.
I think it's more accurate to say.
And I am going to voice a hype video for you. How about that? That's going to get you in. But remember the deal we made. When I get you in, I make the speech, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing is what you said the first time was more accurate. The three of them will do something. You nailed it the first time, Stu.
When I reached out to Seth Levin, who handles all Jason Taylor stuff, he was like, JT really wants to do this. What do you want to do? And I go, I'll just follow JT's lead. I don't think you have a bigger fan than Jason Taylor. And he's a Hall of Famer, so you know that helps coming from the inside. No, absolutely. Yes.
Your first thought was, I know it too, was like, what's the least amount of work I can do and get the most credit for?
Bingo. And it was called JT. I'm wondering, Tony, as a you're still in Jacksonville, you're doing, and by the way, me and you are getting itching very closer to you and I doing afternoon drive in Jacksonville.
You're making your way out of, like, I love the journey you and Dan are making. It's perfect.
Yes, yes. Well, listen, you told us if we left the ESPN, you would no longer listen to ESPN anymore.
I don't listen anymore.
We love you. I am wondering how you felt, though, at the exact time the Jaguars hired Urban Meyer. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was, first of all, it's hard to argue the hire. I mean, the guy has won everywhere. And my favorite is when people would say, oh, yeah, we went to Florida and Ohio State because he got better players than everyone else. Okay, well, that's, number one, it's part of the job. but if you look at it, he won at Bowling Green. You're telling me he was getting 5 stars at Bowling Green? No. He went at Utah when Utah was like – he went undefeated and beat Alabama, I think it was, in a bowl game. I mean, so the dude –
and turned Alex Smith in the number one pick of the
draft. Yeah, the dude's won everywhere. And so the question I always had is like, okay, can he translate from the college game to the pro game? You don't know until he does it. I like the hire from the standpoint. This team was 1-15 last year. It's been one of the worst franchises in the last decade. I mean, and so what they had been doing was not working. And so I liked the out of the box thinking. I liked the aggressiveness of Shad Khan of going out there and saying, I'm going to go find a guy who's won, who's a leader and knows how to lead men. So I'm going to go get that dude. And so you know what? I applaud it. It was aggressive. It was a swing for the fences, and he's the head coach now. I don't think anyone thought, you know, when the rumors started getting out there, it's like, oh, is Urban really going to go to Jacksonville? because Jacksonville gets his things too. You know, this is like, it's the afterthought a lot of times, and partly because they haven't won forever. We haven't won forever. And so I liked it from that standpoint. I think Urban is a leader, and he's had success, and I'm hoping it can translate from the college game to the pro game.
I will tell you, until recently, the Bucs and the Dolphins weren't much better. So
that's right. Right. Florida teams have struggled.
Yes, they have. So, all right, and I agree with you because I think the head coaching position is more CEO type, a guy who can motivate, who can galvanize, who can bring the right people in. But speaking of bringing the right people in, it's just a colossal mistake for someone who I admire from a CEO standpoint, someone who I think could be good at this, Urban Meyer in the NFL, for one of his first hires to be Chris Doyle, the strength and conditioning coach from the University of Iowa, who was let go from Iowa because several players started voicing their feelings of their time with Chris Doyle and some of the racial allegations that went along with that. What'd you make of that hire? Because to me, it was an unnecessary hire, Tony, and it was not – for that to be one of your first moves, not the brightest move by Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I was surprised. I found out about a week or so before that was the direction that he was thinking about going, just through the grapevine here in Jacksonville. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, I don't understand the hire. And I don't know Chris Doyle. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't dug into the allegations and the study and everything else. All I know is this, is that he was let go because of accusations of racial behavior or that was not good and mistreatment of players. You know, that's mentally, physically, whatever. That's all I know. And so when I heard that we were hiring him, I'm like, Urban Meyer is a great leader, is a CEO type coach that you talked about, and he has credibility coming in. But no matter what, how much credibility you have coming in, you still have to earn the trust of the players, because those players who are coming in, they're going to say, okay, let me find out what Urban's about. Let me understand like who this dude is and how is he going to treat us and how is he going to lead and what, you know, because in today's professional sports, and I'll just talk about football, more than ever, more than when I played, you have to develop relationships with the players, and those relationships have to be built on trust. It's just the way, I mean, I think it's always been that way, but even more now because of the culture we live in and how it's moved more towards players having a little bit a bigger voice and everything else. And so if you want to lead them, and I think this is in any industry, by the way, not just sports, if you want to lead people, they have to know you care about them and they have to trust you. But that's how you can be most effective. Well, when you hire a guy wrongly or rightly, I'm not making a judgment about Chris Doyle because I don't know enough. It wouldn't be fair for me to do that. But when you hire a guy that was fired or let go from his last job because of racial allegations, the perception's out there, this guy has some issues. And you're going to hire him and bring him in as one of your first moves when you know as a leader you have to go build that relationship and build it based on trust. And your audience and the men you are leading, the majority of them are black men.
Yes.
And so I didn't understand the move. What do we, you know, because you're communicating something to this group of people, you don't have a relationship with that. It would have been different, in my opinion, if Urban had been a coach at Jacksonville for 5-7 years, had built a relationship with his players, had a leadership council and everything else. And he really felt like Chris Doyle was the best guy for the job, that Chris Doyle had learned, changed. Because I do believe people deserve a second chance. And everything else. And he went and met with his team and said, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking about with the leaders of the team, and said, give me your input. And they built that and they said, okay, we're in. Okay, fine. But when you're trying to do it for the first time and build that trust, I just didn't understand it, Stu. I thought it was a really risky call. I thought it was a misstep. And this was before it was proved right. I mean, it was a misstep. And it took him 24 hours to realize that, hey, we need to make a change here because this is not the right call.
Right. And for such a – listen, you could say what you want about Urban Meyer, and I've said plenty of bad things about him, but for such a smart man to make such a stupid hire – and you're right. I think 5-6 years down the road, when Urban has built up some equity with the team and the organization, and then he wants to sit down and make a controversial hire, but he gets his team to buy in on it, that's a little bit different. But to spring this on his players – specifically his black players who he's trying to build relationship with and trying to establish trust with. If I'm a black player in that locker room, I am scratching my head and I'm wondering about my head coach. Aren't you, Tony?
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. And so at some level, the damage has been done, even though you fire Chris Doyle 24 hours later, because the question now is like, okay, what's going on here? Now, make them.
I'm sorry to cut you off. You're also left to wonder if they got rid of Chris Doyle amid media pressure. Did Urban Meyer really want to get rid of Chris Doyle, or did he do it because there was so much pressure?
Well, I mean, you and I both know that it could be. We don't. You'll never know. But that happens all the time. You know that. I mean, people make decisions because of the perception, the power of the media, and in today's world we live in with social media. I mean, people get just canceled, as the saying goes, and get pushed into a corner whether they like it or not sometimes. And so that's why, because you're right, Urban is such a smart man. I mean, the guy is successful. And that's why I didn't understand, like, and here's the other, in my opinion, a little bit of a failure. Where were the people around him saying, whoa, time out? Like, what do we, let's take a time out. Let's think about this. What is the message we're sending to our locker room? Again, our locker room is, the majority of the men in that locker room are black men. But what are we sending the message to everyone, regardless of their race, color, whatever? And I think that question must not have been asked, or they felt like, or they underestimated, which I don't understand how. Especially, I mean, it's a topic that is being addressed daily in every industry. You know, as far as race and relationships and how we, and equity and everything else. I just don't know how that one was missed. But I don't think it's impossible to overcome for Urban. I mean, you got to build that relationship. You have to build that trust.
Oh, no. Listen, a 3-0 start, Tony, as you know, all is forgotten.
Well, that's the amazing thing.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. There's not a bone in my body that thinks Urban Meyer is a racist or he made that. I mean, there's not, like, at all. I mean, there's nothing in it. I mean, I look at his track record, what he's done. I mean, listen to the players that played for him, how they talk about him as someone they respect. And so I just think it was a misstep. And I think leaders all the time, heck, we all make missteps. And now it's going to be on Urban just to fix it and build the relationship. And it's just going to be a little bit harder. But it doesn't mean it's nothing he can overcome. And to your point, you go 3-0, 4-0, 5-1, stuff like that. You know, all of a sudden everyone feels a lot better about the situation. Now, they're coming off a 1-15 records, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know. But Urban came there for Trevor Lawrence, I think. And so is that a foregone conclusion?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yes. I mean, you hear the rumblings, you know, on Twitter and other sports talk radio, like the Zach Wilson cat out in BYU might have jumped ahead of him in some people's minds. I can't imagine. Listen, I haven't watched enough film to even tell you one way or another. I watch TV like everyone else.
Tony, please take Zach Wilson and leave Trevor Lawrence for the Jets. Please, I'm begging you. I mean, you have influence in that organization. Make him take Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I don't think I have that kind of influence. Stu, to your point, I'd be shocked if they don't take Trevor Lawrence. Yes. I mean, I just can't imagine it. Speaking of your Jets, you guys hired one of my good buddies, Robert Saul, up there's your head coach.
All right, yeah, we had him on 2 episodes ago on Stupidity. He was fantastic.
Robert Saul, I'm telling you, Urban Meyer was a great hire by the Jaguars. Set Urban aside, I thought Robert Saul was the best hire of assistant coaches out there in the NFL. Now, I'm biased. Yeah. He's a friend, but I think Robert Saul, you talk about leadership and like that CEO quality, he's obviously a great defensive mind. I mean, he's proved that. He was trained under Gus Bradley and, you know, did a great job and took it even to San Francisco and was an amazing defense coordinator. I mean, that's why he's head coach. But the greatest quality about Robert Saul is not that he's a good defensive coordinator. The greatest quality about him, he is a bona fide leader. I mean, he will lead that organization, and he'll do a great job. I thought the Jets hit a home run with that hire.
All right, I'm adding Robert Saleh. Mikey A., make a note of this, to the hype video from Tony Baselli to get to the Hall of Fame. Okay? Because he is the guy. I don't think anyone else needs to speak other than Robert Saleh, because you're right. Oh, no, he is – I mean, he is a leader, man. That came off in 5 seconds to me.
So then what are you going to do?
Nothing. Get Saleh to do it. You know, I mean,
here, Mike, this is what Stu's going to do. At the end of it, like, it'll open with a picture of Stu, like, as the star. And then, like, at the end, like, producer, Stu Gotts. Director, Stu Gotts. Creative mind, Stu Gotts. And then, like, at the bottom of the credits, we'll list, like, Jason Taylor, Robert Saleh, Dwight Freed.
Very, very small print that goes by very quickly.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
It will also say introductory speech, Stu Gotts.
Stu Gotts. I mean, reason he's in the Hall of Fame, Stu Gotts. I mean, come on. But, yeah, I mean, was he good on the show? Was Robert good on the show?
Oh no, he was fantastic. He was amazing on the show, and I'm super excited to have him. Is that Dwight Freedy who just popped into our Zoom chat there?
Yeah, he popped in and popped out.
He did. He popped in and he popped out. It's so great. Tony, I wanted to ask you a quick question before we get you out of here.
Yeah.
First off, you've been breaking my balls about being up at 7:45 in the morning. Why are you doing that, man?
Like, are you
like the Army? You've done more before 7 a.m. than most people do all day. Is that what you're doing?
I do get up early, but I go to bed early too. I'm getting old. And it's like my parents, like it's like 9:30 and I'm like, oh gosh, I gotta get in bed. So, but I get up early. I'm like an old man, Stu. I just know you like anything before like 8 is like, you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, how am I going to get out of bed? I mean, you have kids, right. Though. I mean, your kids, like, well,
yeah,
your
kids,
my
kids, listen, my kids are 17-year-old high school girls. They don't get shit
sleep
about me,
forever.
You know, Tony.
Well, yeah. And when they're 17, they sleep until like 11.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. They are furious that I am speaking this loudly enough. Right? I'm pretty certain they have school, too. They don't give a shit. Tony, I know you got to run. Dwight Freedy is in the chat right now. He's going to be part of my hype video to get you into the Hall of Fame, okay?
I love it. We need him in. We need him in. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, what's up, Dwight? Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Dwight, it is a – listen, I've been telling Baselli for years. I haven't done anything about it. I've offered to help, but I haven't done anything. Trying to get him in the Hall of Fame. But Baselli for 5 or 6 years was the greatest left tackle I've ever seen, Dwight. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Tell the people.
No, absolutely.
Man.
He's a legend. Okay.
Well,
I never played against him, but I heard about the legend from Jacksonville, man, just going out and just destroying guys left and right, man.
Hey, Stu, I'll say this. There's, you know, I like playing against anybody, but watching Dwight play with that dang spin move he had, I was like, I don't want to play him up in the RCA dome, man, because that spin move. That spin move. I've watched Dwight destroy Hall of Fame tackles with that spin move. Oh, man.
Yes. And listen, Dwight, I forgot how great an athlete all you guys are, but Dwight specifically, I went up and played golf with him last week thinking I was going to kick his ass. Dwight Freedy is a scratch golfer, hits the ball 325 yards off the tee, Tony.
Okay? Well, I will do. Stu, it's not hard to beat you. I mean, what's your average? I mean, you're the guy who's hitting like at a par, like 140-yard par three.
A
like,
driver.
You're like, let me knock down this hybrid to try to get.
You're exactly right.
Knockdown driver. But he's always in the middle.
And
he's always in the middle.
And
come on now.
Thank you, Dwight.
Never lose a ball.
You can't hit it far enough to get to the rough. That's why he's down the middle.
You're an asshole.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I got to go. Hey, Stu, let's catch up. Dwight, good seeing you, man.
Hey, man. Nice seeing you, man.
All right.
See ya.
Tony, thanks for everything, man. I look forward to
getting
you in the Hall of Fame this year, man.
Yeah, appreciate all the help. Keep on working hard, Stu. Keep working hard.
See you.
See ya.
All right, see you, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great Tony Baselli. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot has changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. What I love to do, what me and my friends do, when we're sitting around, we like to enjoy it with ice-cold Miller Lights. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Stu, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Freedy, I had no idea you were joining us today. I was going to leave you alone because it's your birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday, by the
way. Happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
And then Mikey A must have pushed you to join.
Oh, yeah.
Join the Zoom.
Hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm here. I'm into my family, so it's all good.
I'm intimidating, Stu.
Yes. Happy birthday, man. What are you doing today? What are you doing for the birthday?
You know what I'm doing. All right. In about 30 minutes, I'm about to be teeing it off. All right. No better way to bring him up right there.
All right, man. Dwight, I pushed you on because I need to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
So okay. Stu was talking a whole lot of trash when you guys were talking about golf. And Stu's like, listen, I'm good. All right? Like, I'm not good. I'm great. And you were playing the, yeah, you know, I just got into it. You know, I'm just starting to learn. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going,
he's a fucking
hustler, man. Dwight's a world-class athlete, okay? So here's what I want to know. So Stu shows up and you rip a driver 320 down the fairway. Did you catch his face? Because I want to know how much his face fell. Oh, like, oh no, man. I might have stepped out of bounds.
You know what? It's all about perspective. Okay, now I don't know who Stu plays with on a day-to-day basis.
Not world-class athletes.
I love you.
Not Michael Jordan.
I love you to death, Stu, but I don't know who you play with. And I'm not saying you're a bad golfer because I have seen way worse than you. Okay. But I have been blessed to be playing with guys who absolutely make me eat dirt in golf. Now, that being said, I'm playing with professional golfers. I'm playing with Ricky Fowler. I'm playing with guys who make me want to quit the game. You know, like Dustin Johnson, odds guys I'm playing with, you know, and maybe I should probably stop playing with those guys and play more rounds with you so I can.
I like that idea.
Yeah. So I can have more confidence in my golf game, right?
I will tell you, and Ahmad Rashad, that's like, playing with Ahmad is like playing with Fowler, felt like.
Exactly. I mean, you got Ahmad who's ancient, right? Ancient. He's lived 3 to 4 lives, all right, you know, compared to me. And he outdrives me by 10, 15 yards. Like, it's nothing. It doesn't make any sense.
Mikey, wait, hold on, Mike. I need to blame someone real quick, okay? Yes. Because I showed up to Grove 23, which is, it's heaven on earth, okay? Yes. and my wife was so excited. My wife never plays golf, doesn't care about anything that I do golf-related. She was so excited for this because I was explaining the course to her. She made me go out and buy a new outfit. I'm going to blame this on my wife, Mikey. She made me go out, buy a new outfit, a belt. I was dressed nicely. I never do that at my course. I roll into Grove 23, go up to the driving range. There's Dwight Freeney. He's wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm uncomfortable. Like, everything's tight on me. I don't feel it. And Dwight knows you need to be comfortable to play golf well. And I was not comfortable at all.
Oh, my goodness, man. She set you up, man. I don't know what's going on. Because at Grove, there is no rules. Absolutely no rules. Right. You go out there and dress as you are. You can play barefoot if you want to. It does not matter, man. Just go out there and have a good time. That's it. Golf is hard enough as it is, Mike. Right? Golf is hard enough as it is.
So might next time you wear comfortable clothes and you'll beat Dwight. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that just means you can't use that as an excuse. Right? In golf, you have to have.
No, it's not what I'm saying.
In golf, you have to have a whole bunch of excuses to why you lose. I mean, that's just part of the game. Okay, it was the ball. Right, it was the lie. It was my clubs. It was my dress. Every all types of reasons because you got to bring it up because there's no other reason why you didn't play good other than it's your fault and it's hard to admit.
Well, while we're there, Dwight, I usually play from the blue tees. You guys play from the tips, the Carolina blue tees, and Michael Jordan scores. I mean, you know, that's where the pros play from. I mean, and you're pro.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a pro football, not golf.
I know. I will tell you this. There is a level. I always wondered what it would be like on the first tee of Augusta, like how nervous I would be if I actually ever got to play that course. Mm-hmm. Dwight, just playing with you and Ahmad at Jordan's course, I'm going to be honest here, okay? Yeah. I choked. Like, I was nervous.
Oh,
you know this. Like, I played a much better back nine than I did a front nine. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm with two world-class athletes. And Dwight Freedy is a mammoth of a man who's smashing the ball. And I choked. I got nervous.
Don't,
I have
listen,
to be honest.
Man, don't get nervous. We're not playing football. All right. This is golf. We all suck, kind of. I know.
Sounds like he might have a better shot at beating you at football.
How about that? Now? That's a different game.
But Dwight, I paid right after the round. I owed you a lot of money, but I paid right.
Absolutely. Stand up guy. Hey, listen, that invite is open anytime you want, okay?
Oh, I love it. Okay. All right, I'll see you later today. Exactly. Wait, I'm being serious here because I don't want to ask you anything I can't. Am I allowed to ask you, like, Jordan's birthday, how that goes down or no?
Oh, you can ask me whatever. It was good. We went out. So we went out. His birthday is a couple of days before mine. All right. So we went out, you know, a bunch of his friends, you know, and we all played some golf. And I pretty much just shit the bed. Okay. I was his teammate. So you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got.
I think that's the worst job on the planet.
It's kind of like, okay, you got MJ and Pippen and Scotty, and then you got Dwight and golf, and he's relying on me, and I'm sculling the ball. I'm doing all types of crazy stuff that I never do. He was like, happy birthday. Okay. At the end of the round, he's just dishing out money. I'm looking at it. I'm like this. Oh, no. My man. Hey, sorry. Happy birthday. I love you, my brother. It was bad.
It's not bad to have to be able to celebrate your own birthday at your own golf course. Yeah, I mean, you're living life right if you can do that.
Yeah. You're doing things right. You're definitely doing things right.
Wait, Dwight, so if you're playing with Michael, so you're his teammate, if you're playing with him and you contribute to him losing money, does he let you know about it?
It is the worst. You remember all those stories? You know all those stories that you like, you know, you're watching, you know, like his documentary, you know, of him and how he is with his teammates? It's real. It's a real thing.
The punching of Steve Kerr in the face, it happened.
Well, he's not punching me in the he might punch me in the stomach, but he won't. But it is what it is. It is what it is. No, but seriously, you know, we're so competitive, man. Me and him, we're so competitive. I probably felt worse than he felt about how bad I played. That's just like, that's just the competitive juices in me that I gotta stand up. This is his birthday. My guy has to win on his birthday. How can he lose? How can it be because of me? Yeah, I had to take the next day off. I can't even believe I did this.
What was Ahmad doing? Was Ahmad he on his team against him?
Ahmad plays against him, and Ahmad plays great, man. Ahmad is just so smooth. He's just so smooth.
Amazing.
He just hits the ball. Oh yeah, I hit it 330. Yeah, that's just what I do. I get, you know, man. He hits the ball into the mud, into the water. There's no way he's not going to get wet. All of a sudden, the water just splashes everywhere but him. This is Ahmad. You know, this is how Ahmad works. Yeah, I don't know how. All right.
Yes, but listen, we all pray, and none of us will, but we pray we can look that good at the age of 17.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember Bob Sura, who we saw on the golf course, whispered to the guy he was with, "That guy is 70 years old.
Yeah, it's a shock every single time. It's a shock to your system. And then you realize, man, listen, like for me, it's like, look, Ahmad, you look like that at 70. I'm doing something wrong at 41 right now. I got to get on whatever you're on, man. I don't know what you're on, but I got to get on it.
All right, I got a couple of football things for you, and I'm going to let you go because it's your birthday and I want you to go celebrate and enjoy your birthday. Yeah. Does your wife, like, how does this work? With the birthday, you have a baby, 3-month-old. How does this work? Does wife Rita get a day off from all parental responsibilities?
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, you set me up.
Yeah, exactly. I might have to do more now. Hey, happy birthday. You know, it's
don't you want to spend your birthday with your daughter?
You, don't you want to?
Big guys.
I mean, what you want to do? I mean, don't you love me?
No, I want to spend it with MJ.
No, exactly. It's good, though. She's allowing me to go play golf, you know, so I'm going to do that, doing the things I love, and obviously come back home and spend some time with her.
Nice. Before I get you out of here, a couple of things. J.J. Watt asking for – you and I talked about this a bit. In fact, it broke the day that we played golf where J.J. Watt asked for his release from the Houston Texans. How'd you feel about J.J. asking for that?
Hey, I don't blame him. You know what? At that stage of his career, he wants to go out the right way. You know, and he doesn't want to go out a loser.
Right.
And I'm sorry, the Texans aren't heading in the right direction right now. So he wants to go out. Find an organization who he could win with. You know, a guy like that wants to win a ring, right? So he's going to find a place where he's going to have fun, win some football games, all right, and have an opportunity to get to the big one. All right? And I think that's for all great players. I think that is one thing that they want to check off their list by the end of their career, is that they had an opportunity to win the big one, and they did. All right. And JJ had a heck of a career, and I think that he deserves that opportunity. So more power to him.
So I'm wondering, Dwight, because you were in contention just about every year playing with Peyton Manning on those great Colts teams. Yep. But had you not had the fortune of playing with Peyton and being so great yourself and playing on those great teams, would you have maybe considered doing the same thing at the end of your career where, hey, I gave it all I had here. I'm 31, 32, 33 now. I want to try to go win a title. Would you have tried that possibly?
If I hadn't have a career, put it this way, if I had a situation like JJ's where – you know, they make it to the playoffs and then they don't, you know, it depends on the relationship that he has with that team. And they're moving things in the right direction to trying to win a championship. Okay. Not in a rebuilding phase. Okay. You don't trade away your best receiver, the best receiver in the game. And, you know, your starting quarterback's ready to leave. And so it's one of those situations where if I was in his shoes based on his scenario, I would. Now, you have other scenarios where teams try to build up their team and just don't happen to get there, but have all intentions on getting there. You know, there is some loyalty you have to your city, right? You played there. You become the face of the franchise. And as long as that franchise is moving in those directions and you're seeing it as one of the star players, a key player, then it's going to be hard to leave and abandon that because they're doing the right thing. But if I was on another team where they were trading, getting rid of Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and got rid of, you know, whoever, then it's kind of like, well, what are we doing here? And why am I here? Why do I have to sit around? And you guys have no, you know, you guys are worried about 5-10 years from now, and I'm not going to be around that long.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. The Texans have really mismanaged that organization. And then quickly, I'll let you go on this. As a former Colt, your feelings on them with that trade with Carson Wentz yesterday. So Carson Wentz, the new Colts quarterback, reunited with Frank Reich. You like it?
I love it. I love it. Frank and him have a great relationship. I think in 2017, you know, he had a great year. I think he had over 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions in the second year in the league, man. So I think having that relationship there, that's very important. You know, from a play calling standpoint, trusting your quarterback, the quarterback trusting the play caller, all right, that's Frank. All right, so there is a lot of, like, familiarity there, you know, and confidence there, and confidence brings success. So I think it's a really good for the Colts. I don't know about the Eagles, but good for the Colts.
I mean, if you don't care about the Eagles, you only care about the Colts.
I really don't.
All right, I'm going to leave you on this note. Happy birthday to you, Dwight. We love
Thank you.
Here is just a couple of poll questions from yesterday's Dan Le Batard show, Wins to Gods. Does Ahmad Rashad make you feel like he's known you for his entire life?
Absolutely. Ahmad is just great, man. And Ahmad is just, you meet Ahmad, and you just meet Ahmad. Ahmad's like, hey! You know, it's just like, I just met you, guy. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, how do you do that? He's just great.
I was telling Lebedard yesterday, he said, is Ahmad a fan of you? Is he a fan of the show? I said, I don't know, but he certainly made me feel like he
was. Yeah, absolutely, man. But Ahmad's up the game, man. He knows. You know, he knows who's still involved and who's still in, you know, who's in the media, what's going on, and has his ear to the vine. You know, Ahmad's still in there, right?
I love your dynamic. Mikey, hey, my favorite part of the round is after the round. Dwight Freedy and Ahmad Rashad, okay? Two legends of the game. Fighting about whether or not there's actually zone blitzes in the NFL. And Freedy getting so fucking mad because he's like, I've executed zone blitzes before. I'm screaming in the restaurant. I paint that picture because I love the dynamic between you and Ahmad. It's like an older brother, younger brother relationship. It's so cool to watch.
It's something else, man. And that's like what you witnessed. It was the classic me and Ahmad just disagreement. It's just like, Ahmad, what, the sky is blue. What are you talking about? And Ahmad's like, no, it's not. It's teal. It's teal. It's tinted with. It's not blue. No sky can possibly be blue. That's impossible. And I'm like, how do you argue with somebody who just doesn't see the sky is blue? Like, that is blue. That's blue. What are you talking about? You know, it doesn't. It just is what it is.
He would not give in to you, not an inch.
That's why I love him, though. He won't budge.
All right, here's the second poll question. Should Stu Gatz have been more excited to meet Bob Sura, or Bob Sura more excited to meet Stu Gatz?
Man, where's a coin? Let me see if I can.
Yeah, right, that's what I said. The coin toss.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Then the last question we had yesterday: should JJ Watt go play for Army?
Oh wow, that's horrible. Don't do that to JJ.
I know. I know. I'm sorry. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? JJ Watt,
yeah, absolutely, without question.
But you were better. I mean,
yeah. We don't compete.
Same
side of the ball, okay? Offense, defense. Cool.
Okay. All right. Hey, go enjoy your birthday, all man. Right. Have a great round of golf. We appreciate you coming on.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Holy fuck, Mike. I love Dwight Freeney.
He's so good. He is so good.
Listen, I love Tony Boselli. I do. He's a dear friend. He is a legit friend. Dwight Freeney, there's a budding friendship, a growing friendship. I fucking love him. Okay? Okay? The F in Freeney stands for fucking love you, man.
I'm going to go full Stu Gatz with your permission, obviously. Nice. And I'm going to say I discovered him. Because I did book him on this podcast, and I'm going to say I discovered him. So I'm going to go ahead and take credit for everything he does from this point forward.
Listen, you and I have both been doing this. We've been in this industry for a long time. And every once in a while, a natural comes along, okay? Where it's just like, whoa, and lights up the sky, okay? Like Dwight Freeney, we never explained this to him. I'm pretty certain he's never done any of this before. He's now been on with us twice. He has crushed it twice. You and I never walked him through this, talked him through this. He just came on and started talking. And sometimes that's enough because his personality is so engaging. And Mikey, the most important thing is he does not take himself seriously.
No, that's
it.
And I knew that, which was why I was so excited to ask him about your round of golf, especially when you told me how he kicked your ass. And I just, and it makes so much sense. Here he is. He's playing 18 with guys like Ricky Fowler, and you're getting tips from your neighbor, Joe. And, Joe's like, keep your elbow in, and Ricky Fowler's playing 18 holes of giving him tips. And you're wondering why this world-class athlete is whooping your ass on the golf course.
He totally fucking duped me. I'm telling you. And the reason he keeps inviting me out there is because he sees the money.
Yes.
He's a fucking shark, dude. I'm telling you. And I'm a piece of chum in Dwight Freeney's ocean. That's all I am. I mean, Jesus Christ. Mikey, 350 down the middle. I'm not joking. He drove a par 4. He was on the green at 1. I mean, all right. It took me 4 shots to get there.
How many pairs of pants would you need to be Michael Jordan's teammate on his birthday?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, Freeney did point out that as bad as it could possibly get, Michael is not punching Freeney in the face. Like, that ain't
well, yeah, I mean, Dwight Freeney, again, world-class athlete. That's not a dude you punch in the face.
Even being Scottie Pippen was difficult. Like, and he's a top 50 all-time player. A lot of people credit Scottie for being the reason that Jordan finally won. But even being Scottie was tough for Scottie. And he's the best teammate Jordan's ever had. So no, I would not want to be Michael Jordan.
And you were the best teammate Dan Le Batard's ever had. Stupidity!
Yes! Greatest co-host in the history of co-hosts! All of it! Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot has changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't.
What I love to do, what me and my friends do, when we're sitting around, we like to enjoy it with ice cold Miller Lights. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.